Visiting now with Charlie Johnson, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Charlie, I thought today's meeting, kicking things off for the Convention Center project, things went well today.
Yeah, I thought so too. We covered a lot of ground. It was mostly a, you know, get to know the project meeting to introduce all of the committee members and the city commissioners who were here, and run down the list of the primary things that we want to address, things that we were going to put in the RFP. We're not going to write it because we're not experts, but the city has Jim Gilmore and other people to help him with that. So we want to talk about minimum meeting space requirements that we want to put in there. Whereas, like I think you heard us say, we're talking about a total probably of 70,000 square feet of true meeting space, including large spaces for ballroom and exhibit space. How that's configured, we'll probably leave up to whoever the bidders are, but then you have to have smaller meeting space subsequent to that. Plus, you have to have pre-function space for cocktail parties, registrations, things like that. And then you have to have a decent kitchen for catering, at least, and then storage space for all of the tables and chairs and whatever else you have to go with the convention center, and then a good loading dock on the main level. And then we'll be looking at some other things too. But those are the primary things that came up at today's meeting.
And the most important thing about this, the number one use of this facility is going to be conventions.
Yes, absolutely. Meetings, conferences, conventions, absolutely. Will it be used for other things, one-offs, like local luncheons and things like that? Sure, it should be available for all of those things, like any facility of this kind would be. It's not a sporting facility, but if we end up with one 50,000 square foot room that can be opened up to the full 50,000, there might be some sporting events that could go in there if there's a weekend when it's available. But this is primarily for conventions and meetings.
Talk a little bit about, we talked about the fact that the convention center will not make money right away. Talk about that aspect.
It won't make money right away. It may never make money. Most of these facilities don't. That's why cities have to build them primarily. The idea is to bring larger groups of people into town. They spend money at the hotels. They spend money at bars and restaurants. They spend money shopping. They buy gasoline. Any way that you can think of to spend money, visitors do it. And it's great because they come and spend their money, and then they go home again until the next time they come to visit. So, yeah, it won't make money, but it should bring in enough, more than enough economic impact into the community to give a big lift.
I know that there's some conventions that aren't able to be held in Fargo just because of lack of space. Can you talk a little bit about how this facility would bring those conventions here?
Well, the two that I always mention right off the top of my head, we have a whole list of them, but the two that seem to make it clear to people how we can't compete are the fact that we are unable to host the North Dakota League of Cities anymore, don't have a big enough space for them in their exhibit space, nor the North Dakota Association of Counties. Again, they need a large meeting space, breakout rooms, and they need exhibit space. Modern conferences and conventions generally are funded by, to a great degree, by their sponsors and vendors, right? The ones who come and exhibit. So they need space for those people. And that's the kind of thing we haven't been able to do in any significant fashion here. So those two things are among those that we feel pretty confident we'd be able to attract here, get into the rotation for here that we haven't been able to for the last 10 years. And there are many other events like those around the state, the communities, around the region. We'll be able to attract regional events too.
Start to finish, how long do you anticipate this project could take?
I'm hoping that we get, it would be great if we could have a project picked by fall, sometime in fall of this year. And then whoever is picked will start working. That's when the tax would take effect, once a project is picked. So we're not collecting the tax yet. Won't until a project is picked. Once it's picked, then the tax will go into effect, so we get some money built up as we head into construction. I don't know about builds. I'm sure it's a 2 to 3 year build for something like this.
What do you say to the taxpayer that may be concerned that this tax, you know, it's just another tax? What do you say to the concerned citizens?
Well, I think the reason we were successful in getting voter approval for this was the fact that this is a tax that is paid almost entirely by visitors. Yep. not by you, not by people who live in Fargo. You know, if you, it's an extra 3% lodging tax. So if you bring grandma to town and don't want her at your house for Thanksgiving, then maybe you're paying a little bit of this tax. But generally speaking, you know, unless you're doing a staycation at one of our nice hotels, you're not paying this tax. It's visitors who are paying it. And I think the voters understood that. You know, they figured that out pretty easily. And so that's why we think it's a good project that way. And then the key is we want to make sure there's enough kept aside so we don't ever have to go back to the taxpayers and ask them for more money. We want to be able to handle it with the existing tax.
All right, Charlie,